Okay, so we're continuing from yesterday. We had problems. We had a few problems. I guess before we get, let's just take the primary thing we're doing is, so the question is if a person sleeps with a trefa, okay? Presumably, it's a good point. I mean, presumably, yeah, let's say you sleep with a male trefa, okay? So the question, where's Havi Maskana, do you say that you're chayav for doing that? Because if you sleep with a mace, a dead person, a corpse, so then you're potter. Okay, so you could argue that that a trefa has the status of a mace. Since trefa has the status of a mace, are you going to be potter? So it teaches you, no, is that since the whole thing is about hana'ah, pleasure, so with a trefa you have the same pleasure, whether they get a trefa or not a trefa. But a corpse, then the pleasure is lacking because it's cold and dried up. So then there's no, you don't have that pleasure. So he said, I mean, it seems like, first of all, the Gemara is entertaining, or in Rashi, at least you entertaining that you'd be chayiv for sleeping with a corpse. It's funny, I mean, why you say it's not a person? It's that. And then also, this is what someone mentioned yesterday, is that what's the Havmin altogether? I mean, I would think that a trefa is dead and therefore you're not chayav for having beer with him. I mean, somehow funny. I mean, why would I think that? I mean, a trefa is alive and kicking human being. So just because he has status of a mace, I mean, what's the sense to that? What's the sense to that? Okay. Okay, so I guess that's what we have to define here. What are these, what's Havmin Maskana? What's Havmin Maskana, basically? So I was thinking like this, is that, see, let's just talk about beer with a mace. Okay, so apparently you could ask a question. Apparently there is room to question whether or not if you'd sleep with a corpse, you'd be chayiv or not. Okay? So apparently what would the question be? So the question is that if the action of bia, the sexual act, is a certain physical description, okay, anatomical physical description, and in theory, if you just go by the raw mechanics of the thing, so I mean, it involves two human bodies, but you could argue that what does it have to do with the guy, whether he's alive or he's not alive? I mean, you could define it purely on a mechanical level. And the human body, whether he happens to have passed, you know, to death or not, is accidental in terms of the physical action of bia. Okay? So there's a physical action of bia. But, or do you say no? Like, it's not just a physical mechanical action, but it's a certain type of a human activity, of a human type of an interaction. Human interaction, you know, which is where you have two people, and they both have a status of an adam, you know, of a chai, and it's an action to not just to the physical body of a person, but it's to an adam, to a person who's a chai, who's alive. It's an action to a person, to a gavra. It's not just to the human, the corpse, but it's to the body. Right, and why? So that's apparently that's what it's set up. It's set up the action of bia or of revia, or of sodomy, is the sexual act is defined not just as a physical mechanical action, but it's an action which involves. It's not just an action to the human body, but it's to a gavra, to a human being, to a balchai, to a guy who's the status of a chai. It's not just, again, his body is the same body and the action is the same physical action, but he's alive or dead. But apparently a property of the maisa is that he's a chai, that he's alive. It's an action which you do to a, not just to a certain body, but it's to a human, to a live, living human being. Okay? So that's what you just deduce, because that's the halacha. If you do it to a corpse, you're not chai. I'm just wondering, by the way, if because you could wonder, someone mentioned yesterday, why is it talking about a man? What about a woman? Why not just say, if you sleep with a, let's say, a married woman who's a trefa? Mike, couldn't you have the same question? You know, like, what's the, why is it specifically saying to a man? Who really cares if it's a man or if it's a woman? So, I'm just wondering, maybe it's like by a woman, definitely the thing. There's no avamina that it would work by a dad, because there the activity is like an interpersonal type of act. But maybe by a man, it's like a different type of an action. It's like there's the, it's like you're acting on an object. Like in a certain sense, the second man is like more of like an object. And maybe you would argue he doesn't have to be alive, because who really cares? I mean, he's not, it's more of like a, there's an actor, and then there's a, it's not like this, like a dual action in a certain sense. It's like an interpersonal action. Like there's the party, like it's the pleasure is different. Like for a man and woman, that's the nature of the acting. It's pleasure of both parties. I mean, I think my understanding is that it's for a man. It's not a, it's like you are sodomizing the other person. So it's more like you could have argued, maybe there's room to think, you could have said that they're the action, even if it's to the physical body. But Kamash Plan, no, CEC is apparently it's not true, it's to a human being. Okay, so once you say it's to a human living being, so now you'll say is that halachically a trefa is defined as a mace. Right, he's in the status of a mace. So part of the halachic description of sodomy, of revia, is that it's to not just to a physical human body, but it's to a ben al-achai. So now, halachically, a trefa has the status of a mace. So since a child has the status of a mace, so then he shouldn't be chayev, because part of revia is to a chai, and he's an achai, he's a mace. Halachically. Okay, you with me? Okay, so what's the maskana? Okay, so I'm saying what Matt's saying, that it's teaching you that when it comes to revia, you have to know how, the question is definitely it's a chai, to a live person. But how do you define chai? So depending on the area that you're involved in, you define a chai differently. When it comes to a ritzicha, to murder, so chai is defined based upon his ability to live. Because that's the idea of murder. Murder, it means that you're taking a guy who's alive, and he's alive and kicking, right, you know, able to live, and you're rendering him dead. But a trefa, he's basically already dead. He's on his way out. He doesn't really have the ability to live. He has this condition which makes him unable to live. So therefore, in the framework of Ritzicha, life is defined by his ability to live, and a trefa is the status of a mace. It's lacking in the Ritzicha, and so if I kill a trefa. Trefa is the halakhic status of kames. That makes sense in the area of Ritzicha. But in the area of Revia, Revia is an action, it's a hana. It's a type of human activity, a sexual pleasure. And in the framework of pleasure, it's irrelevant whether the guy is going to live for a year, or he's going to live for a day, or he's going to live for a minute. The action is based upon his physical body, has certain properties of heat and moisture or whatever. And therefore, The definition of a chai, when it comes to revia, is based upon his physical life. It's not based upon his halachic status and his ability to have a continued existence. So the idea is that when it comes to the halachic definition of alive, of life, it says you have to know what area we're talking about. Halachic, it's not like the Torah has one definition of alive, period. But the definition of life varies from within the halachic area you're dealing in. So in the area of Ritzicha, you have one definition of chai. In the area of Revia, you have a different definition of chai. And since that's what the Gemara is saying, is that since the area of Revia is based on Hana, so therefore that's what it should go by. It goes by the physical life. He's living. It goes by the biological definition of life. It doesn't go by the halachic definition of life in terms of viability of living or whatever. And that idea is why I went to these other sources, okay? Because I think these other sources really indicate this idea or support this idea. Because it's kind of a chiddush that the halachic definition of dead is not, it doesn't have, there's no universal definition of death. But rather, definition of death is it varies from framework to framework. Again, like dead vis-a-vis Ritzicha, trefa is defined as a dead. But vis-a-vis Revia, Trefa is defined as alive. So that's why I want to go through these sources, and I want to show. And it's based on something Rabbi said. I mean, I'm not sure. It could be I got this idea based on something Rabbi gave a share once. Or he used it to answer a question. But basically, I want to show from these other things we'll go through is that idea, that the definition of dead in halacha is, does vary. It depends on the area you're dealing in. Okay? So to do so, let's first start off with this idea of trefa. So the question is, how does halacha define a trefa? Okay? How does halacha define trefa? Trefa is like a mortal wound or something like that. So how do you measure? How do you verify or determine someone's a trefa? So it turns out, and I think Ilan Shimmer or Shimmel mentioned to me, somehow he made me aware that the Rav, he read this somewhere, I guess, that the Rav noticed this difference. But there's apparently a difference between trefa by an animal and trefa by a person. So trefa by an animal is relevance because you're not allowed to eat it to an animal, which is trefa. He said it's not kosher. In fact, the term treif, right, the term treif, the English word treif, comes from trefa. Most things which are treif in the English way are not actually trefas. Trefa is a very certain kind of treif, which is like an animal which had a mortal wound. So the question is, there are mortal wounds. There are many. There's a list of different trefas. How many? There are 70. 70 different trefas. Okay? 7 different signs in an animal, which will define them as being a trefa. Okay? And the Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Shechita Perek Yod Halacha Yod Beis, he says, Ve'ein lohosif al trefas elokal. You can't add to these 70 trefas. She'kol she'ir ala behema ala chaya ala oth chutz me'elu shemanu chachmi hadoros rishonim. Because anything that happens to an animal or to a wild animal or to a bird, which besides for these things that the chachamim of the previous doros counted, v'iskimu aleihem botei dinei Yisrael, and the bezdins of Klal Yisrael, agreed upon, efshar she'tichya, it's possible that it will live. V'afilu no delanu m'derech hafua she'ein sof alachayos, even if we know through medical science that it's not going to live. Okay, still, it's possible that it's going to live. V'chein elu shemanu v'amru shein trefa, and even those things which they, also those things which they listed and said that it's a trefa, afla pisha yira b'darkei refua should be a deinu, shemiksasam enumimis, and even if we could see from our modern medicine that some of them do not cause him to die, v'ef shetichya mehem, it's possible to live, ein lecha elama shemanu chachamim. We only go by that which the Chachamim listed, counted. Shenemar al pi haTorah sheirucha. It means you go according to the Torah that they teach you, that the Chachamim asar teach you. So the saying is that it's interesting. But the saying is when it comes to the definition of a trefa, we don't go by science, and we don't go by medicine, but we simply go by the Masorah. The Masorah, the Chachamim Masorah evaluated this thing. And based on their science or whatever, and this is what they said, and this is the halacha, and that's it. And we don't start looking around to doctors to figure out whether they will or won't die. This is that, it's fixed. Okay, it's a really interesting Rambam. But, so you may argue, because halacha can't go by doctors or whatever, that's not halacha, it's not a valid halacha. You know what I mean? Halacha has to go be fixed, or I don't know, something like that. But if you look then in the Rambam, and when it comes to a trefa by a human being, or a human being with a trefa, which has a nafkamina vis-a-vis killing, so it's in Be'ez Chas, Rosel Shemes Nafash, Be'ez Chas, the Ram says, Horei is a trefa, if you kill a trefa, Afla Pisha Ochel V'Shosim Halak B'Shok, even though he's eating and drinking and walking around the streets, Harizah Patim Dini Adam, so Bezin won't kill you. V'chol Adam B'chaz Kas Shalimu, okay, every person is an assumption. A stama person, you assume he's a shalim. Yehor go nerag, and if you kill him, you're killed. Ad sheyodeh bevadai shezeh trefa. Okay, until you know for sure that this guy is a trefa. V'yomru harofim, and the doctors tell you shemakazu in latala ba'adam, that this wound doesn't have any. You can't emerge from it. Ubayamos, and he'll die with it. Imlayim esenu davar acher, unless something else kills him first. So he says, so you see from this halacha that the definition of a treifa by a person is that the doctors tell you that this wound has no way to be healed, and he's going to die from it. Okay, so which doctors? It's presumably the doctors of your generation. So it's funny, I mean, why is it that when it comes to an animal, which is, whether it's a treifa or not a treifa, it has 70 simanim, 70 different body parts or whatever, and it's mesora from Chazal, and that's it. Even if doctors tell you to the contrary, forget about it. It's not changing. Yet, when it comes to killing, we don't have any such thing. It simply goes by a doctor. So the question is, if you could include the medicine or doctors into your thing, then you should include it into by animals also. And if you can't include it, then how do you include it by a person? Right? That's the question. So I think the answer is in line with what we're saying. Okay? And based on what we're saying, we have to develop it a little bit more. But you see, we're dealing with two areas of halacha. Okay, one area of halacha is machalas asuros, is kosher and treif. Okay, kosher and treif. And the other area of halacha is rotzeach shmiras nefesh, guarding human life. Okay, killing human life, guarding human life. So the saying is like this: is that when it comes to rotzeach shmiras nefesh, the area is the area of the human life, killing and guarding human life. Okay, now the determinant of the way you evaluate life and death in this area is going to go by the realities of human life. If a person is really going to live, you can't say, oh, but he's going to die halakhically. I mean, he's alive. And the area of guarding a human life, it has to go by the realities of human life. That's the very nature of the thing. You're protecting life. So you have to study life. You have to study whether a guy will heal or he won't heal. And you have to go by the doctors. I mean, that's just the nature of the area, is that you're dealing with human life and you're evaluating human life, and you're saying it's important, like human life is important, and you have to guard it, and you can't cut a guy's life short. And if a guy is a treifa, then he's basically already on his way out. So you can't just say, halakhically he's a treifa, but he's going to live. This is the area which is based upon guarding human life. You have to really look into the thing and evaluate whether he's going to live or he's not going to live. Okay, and you have to ask doctors. But when it comes to kosher and treif, see, kosher and treif is an area, is like a halachic area. It's not really like we're guarding the lives of animals. It's not a halacha like that. It's just a halacha that the Torah is defining for us certain parameters of what you're allowed to eat, what you're not allowed to eat. You have to exercise certain restraint in your... Yeah. So the area, again, the area of treifa by an animal is an area of machalas asuros. So the Torah puts restraint. It's kedusha puts restraint on man's diet and what he eats and what he doesn't eat. And the saying is that there's certain categories halachically which are off limits. So it's like a halachic area. It's a halachic area, and as such, so whether it's kosher or treif is like a halachic shayla. It's a halachic shayla, and the Torah has to set parameters. So the parameters for the halachic shayla, and has to define what's treif. So in doing so, it's up to the Balei Mesorah to define, to give a psak about whether the thing is defined as treif or whether the thing is defined as kosher. And then that area, that's defined based upon the strict halachic principles. And the Balei Mesorah paskin, and they set it up as part of the Mesorah, that this is halachically defined as treifa. So treifa doesn't mean that the animal is really like a weakling and is really... It's based upon that concept. But it becomes a halachic... Treifa means that the isser of eating it applies to it. So if, for instance, you paskin that the thing is a treifa, so then it's also to eat it, and it's really going to live. Who cares? It doesn't matter. The point is that halacha, there's a halachic reality, and in which the case is machalos asuros, and the halachic reality was set up based upon objective human categories. I mean, it's given for man to evaluate, and the Balei Mesorah agreed upon these things and determined that these things are treifas, and that's set up in the halacha. And they pass once they pass in it, then it's set up in the halacha, and it doesn't change. And even if a modern doctor would come along, but since it's an area of psak and they paskin that these are trefas, and that's it. So it doesn't matter that in fact that the guy, the animal, will live or won't live. Or, I mean, the question is, trefa is a halachic reality in terms of an isra achila. So when they paskin, they're paskin, this thing is an isra achila. So it might be based upon a certain evaluation, but once they agree upon it, then all the Baal Masorah accept it, then it's set up as part of the halachic, it's grabbed in by the isra achila. But when it comes to, you can't say that when it comes to Shmiras HaNefesh, to human life, because there the area is not like a pure, like, technical halachic structure that the Torah is setting up. That's something which is based upon an underlying reality of human life. It's not like a created halachic construct, which could just be determined by halachic reality. There you're dealing with human life and guarding human life. So you can't, like, halachify human life and make it something other than what human life really is. The whole nature of the institution of Pikuach Nefesh is dealing with what human life is. So when you deal with what human life is, then you have to say, if a doctor will tell you the guy's going to live, then he's going to live. If a doctor tells you he's going to die, then he's going to die. And then try for the nature of the status of a mace in the area of death, of life, of Ritzicha, has to be based upon the reality of life and death. Whereas the definition of dead in the area of Machalos Asuros could be based upon what the Bali Masora Paskin has a status of a mace, whether or not it matches up with the medical realities or not. So it's in line with this idea which I mentioned before, that the definition of life or death is not fixed, no matter what, you know, it doesn't go across the board. It depends on the nature of the area. When it comes to Machalos Asuros, it could be based upon the psak of the Bali Masora. When it comes to Ritzicha Shmiras HaNefesh, it's going to go by the nature of the reality of the life and death, which has to go by the doctors. I'm kind of saying is you don't want to have an area, halacha, which is just left open to doctors to paskin. In theory, halacha should be set up and should be a fixed halachic reality for generations. And it came to Trefa, the Torah says Trefa. But the Chachmei Adoros Rishonim evaluated, and the Be'adot Edinim evaluated this thing, and they defined it, and that's the way a halacha in general should be codified. And they codified it based upon their science, and it's true their science may not have been perfect, but the point is they evaluated the thing and codified it, and that's it. And that's they determined to fix the halachic reality. As the nature of the halachic system is that the laws of the system are fixed in general. So that's since it's an Isra Achila, it's true, it's based upon Trefa, but they gave up Hora'ah that these things are Trefa and these things aren't Trefa, and that's it, they gave up Psaq. But so it might be that's why, but now you're bound by their Psaq. But when it comes to human life, it doesn't lend itself to that because it's not a purely like halachic reality, it's based upon a human reality, so to speak. Based upon the reality of Shmiras HaNefesh, of the human love, of the human nefesh, of the human soul, the human life, and it's guarding that, and to halachify that and remove it from, you can't halachify that and remove it from the underlying science. It has to be like in a wide open thing that's in the eyes of any doctors to figure out and evaluate. But in the area of Kekpashos and Treif, that's just like a technical halachic system, and as such, like in any other area of halacha, the Bali Masorah have to evaluate the thing as best they could and give a psak, and their psak is binding. I mean, I kind of hear what's bothering you. Like, I'm not sure if I'm answering so much why that's the case. I'm defining what is the case. And I'm saying is it's possible to say that this is the case because of the fact that death in halacha doesn't have to have an objective definition across the board. So therefore I'm saying is that when it comes to a human being, death means the reality of human life. When it comes to treifa, death means what the halachic system paskins is death. And that may be where the psak might have been based upon scientific considerations, but being that it's a halachic reality, it became fixed. The Chachmei Doros saw that it was saw fit to codify it. Okay, but in the area of the person, it couldn't be codified. So that's what I'm saying is it couldn't be codified by a person, and it could be codified by animals. You're kind of asking why couldn't they leave it wide open by animals? I'm kind of conjecturing that halacha doesn't want to go that way. You know, in general, halacha doesn't like to leave it wide open. But I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just kind of saying that in fact it was codified, and there's no problem to say it's codified because it's essentially not an area which is essentially dealing with life of an animal and the value of animal life. It's an area which is dealing with kashrus, and it's that you're following a halachic system before you eat, and the system might be based upon the realities of the evaluations of the scientific facts, but now you're following the halachic reality, which is based upon a psak. But when it comes to human life, it's not like a created halachic reality, but it is the reality of human life, and that can't be codified outside of the real parameters of what human life is. Okay, so let's take up now this other area, and this is the area which Rebbe pointed out, and this is Rebbe gave this answer in this other area, which I think it could be good, put this idea in my head. You know, he didn't apply it to these other cases. I think maybe I mentioned it to him after he said this idea, this trefa thing. But basically, it's in Kuf Yud Aleph, but Matzia Kuf Yud Aleph in Beis. Okay. So it says. So the basically Tosus, it's Amar Le Lav Kohen, that towards the bottom. So the Re asks, how is it that Eliyahu revived? There was this boy who died. Okay, I mean the Torah, the Navi says that he died. So upsad. I mean, some learn he didn't really die. He was really like he was just in a coma or something. Someone learned that he was very sick. It looked like he died. But the simple pshat of the psukim is that he died, and Tosafot seems to be learning that he died. So the boy died, and Eliyahu kind of miraculously gave that she was really barren, and because she did him a favor, or whatever, she was inspired to God, and she had a kid. So he kind of got her the kid, and the kid died. He felt very bad. I mean, she said to him, she says, "Why do you give me this kid, and then he's going to die? You're just putting me through all kinds of agony." So basically, he went in and he did what would look like CPR to the kid or whatever. He somehow laid on top of the kid and was a spal to Hashem, and got and a miracle happened, and then he came back to life. Okay, that's the basic storyline. Okay, so Tosas asks is that it turns out Eliyahu was a Kohen, and a Kohen is not allowed to touch a mace, not allowed to touch a corpse. So how is it that Eliyahu, it's very nice that he wanted to save the kid and revive the kid, but bottom line is, he's a Kohen, you know, there's an Isser here. So what gave him a right to do that? Okay, so he answers, he says that since he knew he could bring him back, so therefore, there's a situation of Pikoch Nefesh. The situation of Pikoch Nefesh, which is a mitzvah to save one's life. So a mitzvah in general means to save someone's life. And since you bring back, it's Pikoch Nefesh, and Pikoch Nefesh, you know, pushes off all the mitzvahs in the Torah except for the big three. So therefore, it pushes off the Isser of becoming Tameh. You know, of Kohen becoming Tameh. Okay, so the Pikoch Nefesh pushes it aside. And that's why he's allowed to do it. So on the surface, it sounds like it makes sense. But Rabbi asks, Manushach. Oh. Okay. Marcy, there still? Yeah, so Rabbi said, Manushach, that if you're telling me, the question is, was the kid dead or was the kid alive? If you're telling me the kid is halachically dead, so then how is that Pikoch Nefesh? Pikoch Nefesh means to save life, to save someone's life. But I mean, the kid's dead. So if you could go over to a corpse, and revive it. If you can manage, just go to the cemetery and you can bring back the dead. So that's Pikoch Nefesh. Pikoch Nefesh means someone's alive. So there's a halacha of a chai b'ahem that you should save life, and to maintain life, you could push aside any mitzvah in the Torah. So the fact that is, so if he's dead, then there shouldn't be Pikoch Nefesh. Who ever heard of Pikoch Nefesh on a corpse? Halachically. Okay, halachically, he's a corpse. He's dead. So Elamais, he'll tell me, it must be that halachically he's alive. And he's on the brink of death. And since he's on the brink of death, there's an idea of Pikoch Nefesh in order to save him. But if that's the case, so you're telling me the guy's alive, the kid is alive. So then don't say that Pikuach Nefesh is pushing aside the Isser of Toma, of a Kohen becoming Tame, just say that since the kid is alive, he's not Tame. Because Toma is only for a dead kid, and he's alive. He's alive. So it's like a contradiction in the very statement of Tosa. Tosa says that Pikuach Nefesh pushes aside the Isser of Toma. The fact that it's an Isser of Toma implies that he's defined as dead. And the fact that Pikuach Nefesh implies that he's alive. So which one is he? Is he alive or is he dead? Exactly. Matt's saying is that there's different areas of halacha. Is again, when it comes to the area of human life, of saving Pikuach Nefesh goes by the reality of life and death. And since he knew he could save him, he knew that he could save him, so he's not dead. So he can't say he's dead. I mean, basically, tomorrow, you know, he's going to be walking. So you can't say he's halachically defined as dead, because he's going to walk around tomorrow. So that's not dead. He's still dead means that he has no way to come back. That's the idea of dead. Now, since this kid could live, so you're saving his life. So he's alive now. In terms of Nefesh, the fact that you know that he could walk around tomorrow means he's alive. Okay? But in Tuma is like a technical, legalistic halachic area. And in the area of Tuma, the way you define death is by certain simanim of Tuma, certain signs of life and of death. And there are signs which go by like whether he's breathing. I mean, that's all sugya of what are simanim of life and death. So the simanim, the signs that you go by are, let's say, his nostrils. Is there air coming out of his nostrils? Let's say you take a pulse, whatever halacha goes by. But the point is that goes by simanim. And so far as all the simanim are concerned, the signs, everything physically indicated the kid is dead. So he's dead. Halachically, in terms of Tuma and Tara, he's amazed. Tuma's amazed doesn't go by the reality of human life and saving life. It goes by the tech. Yes, it's codified. And so far as it's codified, it has to have, it can't factor in miracles. Miracles can't be a factor in the definition of Tumas Meis. Sometimes they say, halachically he's dead. Oh, but I know I can do miracles, so therefore he's not Tame. No, Tuma has to go by the technical legal parameters. And the parameters are defined based on whatever, and according to those parameters, he's dead. But the area of life or death goes by the underlying reality of, is he going to live or is he going to die? And if he's if he's resuscitatable, so I don't care whether he's resuscitatable through modern medicine or through miracles or whatever, the bottom line is then he's alive. And he's alive. So I remember, I mean, it's very good. I mean, to Rebbe, when Rebbe brought this up, I mean, he wanted to say, yeah, I don't think he's postulating this, because there's all kinds of questions nowadays of when someone's defined as dead and when someone's defined as alive. The questions come up vis-a-vis like brain death. There are a lot of shilas. For instance, if someone's on a respirator, so could you take them off the respirator, let's say? Or if someone is, let's say, organ donation, could you take their organs when they're brain dead? So a person is brain dead, so they say basically it's impossible to come back from brain dead. Certain type of brain dead. There's two kinds. I forget what it's called. There's brain stem death. Brain death, and there's brain stem death, I think. So brain stem death, they say it's impossible. Your brain is like liquid, and it's simply that they have machines that are keeping your body going, but it's impossible. If they took a tube and sucked out the liquid of your brain, your body would still be able to run with these machines. So you're not even, they say basically, totally it's impossible to come back. That's like the vegetable. All these questions of vegetables, you know, that kind of state. So the whole halachic question is, could you take a guy's organs? Because his heart is still going and his organs are still good, but bottom line is dead, his brain is dead, so you could say he's not even big. So is that killing or is that not killing? So, I mean, on the one hand, you could save a bunch of lives, on the other hand, you could say that you're killing him. So it's a big shayla. You know, it's halacha, there's a big question out there. A lot of posts can go different ways. So I don't think Rebbe wanted a paskin on it, I don't want to get involved in it. But he was, I think he just said, Rebbe wasn't talking in terms of psak, but he was just saying from this Tosfos, it would seem that the definition of dead in the area of killing, Shmias HaNefesh, these areas, is he resuscitatable? Right? Is he bring backable? Right? Because that's what he's saying, is that since Eliyahu knew that he could bring him back, so therefore, halachically, he's defined as alive, and therefore there's a mitzvah pikuach nefesh. So it seems he's saying that if you could bring him back to a state of life, of what we call life, of walking around, or you know whatever like human functions are, so then it would seem then you'd say that that's then he's alive. But if a guy is if that's not possible, they're just in some sort of on a state which is totally irretrievable to what we would call a human life. He's just a vegetable. So then it would, so it would seem from this thing that, that that's what we go by. That he was saying is that there's no, in the area, see, an area, when it comes, other areas would go, he was saying, would go by some sort of technical halachic definition. Breathing, heart rate, whatever it is. But he's saying it would seem from this thing that in the area of Ruzeach, Shmias, and Nefesh, which is where all these shilas emerge, so the definition isn't going to go by some technical, legal, formal, you know, simon, you know, of a nose, you know, of a breathing or whatever. Rather, it's going to go by the medical realities of life and death. And therefore, if the doctors will say that he's not coming back, then he's not coming back. And then he's basically dead. So that's what he said. It would seem to him based on Svar, just from, based on this dosis. You know, but it's based on the, what we, you know, that's what we've been showing also by Trefa. You see, also by Trefa. It doesn't go by some technical halachic thing. It goes by the medical doctors. So, so it is interesting. I mean, the connection here. I mean, in our sugya, you see that in different areas, that is defined differently. By Ritzel Shas Nefesh, defined by the reality of human life. Will he live, will he live, will he die? When it, by Revia, it's defined based upon pleasure. So it's the physical body, okay, with the moisture and the, you know, the heat. By an animal, and by Trefa, it go, and by Mace, by Timas Mace, which are, so to speak, technical halachic structures, it goes by certain objectified criteria. By Trefa, it goes by the 70 things which are by the Balai Mesora Paskin and fixed. And by Tumas Mace, I mean, you have to do the sugi, what it goes by, but it goes by other factors. Okay, whatever the halachic factors are that he's dead. Okay, so it's just, it's very interesting. I mean, you see, it's like, you think it's a simple question. So what's the, what is the, how do you define death? So the death, the answer depends what your area you're talking about. Depends what area you're in. Okay, we good? What I'd like to do next is to take a little further. This part of the Gemara which we skipped is that it says if a trefa kills in front of Bezin, you kill him because it says you have to remove evildoers from your midst. So the question is, why not just say simple, because he killed. It's chayv misa. So to do that, I think, I have to look at my notes, I don't have my notes with me, but I think I want to do further in the Gemara also. Talks about by an animal. I mean, further where we are, we're up to, after this this Revia thing, it says Amarava. Actually, that one's a little complicated. I don't know if we need that one. One second. Yeah, actually, skip down to Amarava. Short Trefa Shaharak. If the animal is a Trefa, okay? If the animal is a Trefa and it kills, then what happens? Okay, so Amarava, till the two dots. Okay, I'll send you an email if there's any if there's anything I need to research with more on the Rashi. I have to check. I forgot. But that's so we'll do. So again, think about that question which I asked about why you'll be out there. Think about what you need that pasuk, and then try to do that Gemara. From again, it's Amarava, short trefa. It's the seventh wide line till the two dots. Okay.
Well, I figured.